Well, the season is over for the Edmonton Oilers. What happened? What went wrong? And what comes next for the Oilers in the offseason? All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned on today's episode, we are going to talk about what went wrong for the Edmonton Oilers in Game 6 and the second round that led to the elimination of the Edmonton Oilers. And that means no more hockey for the Oilers and us to talk about. So we will talk about that in just a second. But also on today's episode, with there no more hockey happening on the ice, it now shifts to the offseason. And what can the Edmonton Oilers do in the offseason to make the product even better on the ice next year? We will talk about that a little later on. And to wrap up today's episode, as we do after every Edmonton Oilers game, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the 2022-2023 NHL season for the Edmonton Oilers. All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. Well, the season is over. Not the way that any of us expected it to be, but the Edmonton Oilers NHL 2022-2023 season is in the books, and it ends without a Stanley Cup once again. In a season that a lot of people had the Edmonton Oilers coming away with the Stanley Cup, it ends in disappointment once again. Game 6 was another embodiment of what was the issues for the Edmonton Oilers, not just in the playoffs, but all season from Game 1. Against those Vancouver Canucks, they allow the first goal, they forget what time the game starts at, they do claw back, get the lead, but they blow the lead. Goaltending is an issue, defensive issues, discipline, bad calls, calls going against the Edmonton Oilers. There's a shifting of Jack Campbell going into the net for Stuart Skinner, which was the change, polar opposite from the start of the year, where Stuart Skinner came in for Jack Campbell. And the Edmonton Oilers season ends on a very familiar note. Positives are that, well, at least the Edmonton Oilers did make it to this part of the season, and this is starting to become more and more regular for the Edmonton Oilers. But it's not where they want to be. Leon Draisaitl, in his post-game interview in the post-game press conference or media conference in the locker room, he sounded emotional. It sounded like he was going to cry. This is a team that cares and has always cared, and is a team that is really close. And not just personally, I mean really close to the Stanley Cup. But this also, the full team that the Edmonton Oilers put out in Game 6 against the Vegas Golden Knights, was a team that was only constructed merely by March 1st, well, really March 3rd of 2023. Nick Bjugstad wasn't acquired by the Edmonton Oilers until the trade deadline. Matthias Ekholm also wasn't acquired until basically March 1st was his first game for the Edmonton Oilers against the Toronto Maple Leafs in a win. And the Edmonton Oilers were fantastic. But this team has really only been together for 2.5 months. Evander Kane was injured all year, and he was signed to that big deal at the start of the offseason, to be a big part of this team. And he only played half the season because of a very frightening injury. Not blaming him by any means, but I'm saying that this is a team that while the pieces are there, and they are still missing a little few key pieces, maybe not key pieces, but a little small pieces here and there, this is a team that is really, really close. But a team that still needs time. Am I disappointed that the season is over for the Edmonton Oilers? Yes. Do I think that the Edmonton Oilers should have made it to at least the Western Conference Finals? Absolutely. I have said since the start of the year that it would be considered a failure if the Edmonton Oilers didn't do so. And to sit here and say that I don't think absolutely that the season was a failure would probably be a lie, but I think failure is too strong of a word. This season isn't a failure because the Edmonton Oilers made it to the second round of the playoffs and had two of the top scorers in the playoffs once again. This team wasn't a failure for becoming an absolute powerhouse in the NHL for what seems to be a perennial type of team. This season isn't a failure for finally seeing the development of Evan Bouchard into the player that we all expected him to be when the Edmonton Oilers selected him top 10 in the NHL draft. This season isn't considered a failure when you finally see a true development of a goaltender within the organization, born and raised in Southside Edmonton, and while he may not have had a great playoffs, is probably a Calder favorite this year. Well, not is a, probably a Calder favorite. He's a Calder finalist and could become the first Edmonton Oiler to win a Calder trophy. Not McDavid. Not Nail Yakupov, Taylor Hall, Jordan Eberle, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Magnus Pajärvi. It's the potential to be Stuart Skinner. All the while when Skinner faltered at times, Campbell was in there and was able to keep the fort afloat, which wasn't always the case throughout the season, but especially in the playoffs, Campbell showed that he is trustworthy. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had over 100 points for the first time in his career after being drafted by the Edmonton Oilers over 10 years ago. Zach Hyman supplemented the Edmonton Oilers in so many ways, and the amount of goals he got called back, you could have sworn that he could have been a 50-goal scorer this year. The Oilers finally had bottom six goal scoring in 13 Edmonton Oilers this year had over 10 goals throughout the season, and only one of them was a defenseman. And that defenseman was Darnell Nurse, who everybody loved to poke and prod and give him the biggest bit of blame as they could. But then when it mattered the most, who took the step up every single time, whether it was a run at McDavid, whether it was a time to step up in a heavy game to get a block, to make a hit, it was Darnell Nurse. This season isn't a failure because they lost out in the second round. This season was a success because you were finally seeing the growth of the Edmonton Oilers right in front of your eyes. And once this team gets a full season underneath them with Matthias Ekholm, with hopefully Nick Bjugstad, with the additions of guys like Dylan Holloway being inserted into the lineup, maybe a guy like Raphael Lavoie getting a chance as well. This team is only at the beginning. And while this season is coming to an end, the growth is happening right in front of us. It sucks that the season is over, and I wish that this wasn't this conversation that we had to have, but the reality is there's still next year. So, what happens next year? We talked about all these players who are growing and will be a part of the team next year, but who won't be a part of the Edmonton Oilers next season, and who could the Edmonton Oilers potentially bring in to help supplement a potential success in the Western Conference Finals and potentially to the Stanley Cup in 2023-2024? Well, we'll talk about that in just a second, but first, today's episode is brought to you by Game Time. So I went to Game 6 at Rogers Place against the Vegas Golden Knights for the Edmonton Oilers, and once my friend texted me the day before asking if I wanted to go, I was saying the tickets were going to be impossible to get. He said, of course not. We just got ours on Game Time. Forget about planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, hockey, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. Get images on your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps, and you're set. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Alrighty, well, now that the season is over, it's time to look forward to next year, right? Well, the Edmonton Oilers have a couple of important decisions to make for their team as 2023 and 2024 comes to, well, closer for the Edmonton Oilers. And a lot of rather important players are going to be hitting the market for the Oilers. Derek Ryan, Matthias Janmark are all, and Devin Shore, as well as Nick Bjugstad, are all UFAs for the Edmonton Oilers. Ryan McLeod, Kleem Costin, and Evan Bouchard are restricted free agents for the Edmonton Oilers, and there's only a certain amount of cap space to go around. Now, the Edmonton Oilers are finally getting off the books Oscar Klefbom, Mike Smith as well, and Milan Lucic with Andrei Sekera too. So the Edmonton Oilers are finally seeing a little bit of cap relief from the bonus stuff or the dead cap, really, from guys like Lucic and Sekera and Klefbom and guys like that. The Edmonton Oilers are locked in with a couple of very important players. Obviously, McDavid and Draisaitl. Zach Hyman is signed for a very long time. He's still signed through 2027-2028. Nugent Hopkins till 2028-2029. So the Oilers still have a lot of time or a lot of their core that will be a part of this Edmonton Oilers team. However, there are some players who are a little flexible. Kyler Yamamoto sitting there with a $3.1 million cap hit. We have seen the Edmonton Oilers already start their salary dump with some extra players or excess players as well at the trade deadline when they traded Jesse Puljujärvi. So you can see a guy like Kyler Yamamoto do a similar thing at a $3.1 million cap hit, Warren Fogle at a $2.75 million cap hit, and I could see the Oilers parting ways with Cody Ceci as well at a $3.25. That would bring the Oilers an extra maybe $9 million in cap space, but you have to remember you still have to re-sign Nick Bjugstad, Derek Ryan, Matthias Janmark, and Evan Bouchard, and Kleem Costin, and Ryan McLeod. So that cuts away at some of your money at least, but you know that Evan Bouchard, or it seems like Evan Bouchard, is likely to be taking a bridge deal, probably similar, not similar in what Ryan McLeod took, because Ryan McLeod took basically league minimum somehow. So Ryan McLeod will also probably be making over $1 million next year, as he should. Take away that. Take away maybe $2.6 million for Evan Bouchard, $1.25 million for Derek Ryan and Matthias Janmark, probably over $1 million for Nick Bjugstad as well. Kind of chip away. But you still need to find replacements for guys like Yamamoto, Fogle, CeCe, if you are moving them. So if the Edmonton Oilers were to be adding anybody, it would not really be a high paying contract or a big contract, I should say. Or if it is, it's going to be money in, money out with a move of a guy like Yamamoto, Fogle, or CeCe. I don't want to hear any of this, oh, move Darnell Nurse, oh, move Jack Campbell. It's not going to happen. It just, you're living in a fantasy world and you need to turn off the PlayStation. It's not going to happen. But this is a league where you win on cheap deals. We know this. And the Edmonton Oilers have the possibility of adding cheap contracts to their team from within the organization. Vinny Desharnais already has been playing big minutes for the Edmonton Oilers. And to be honest with you, I know a lot of people will not want to say this because they love having one-time judgments and that's the only way they will ever view a player. But Vinny Desharnais played quite well down the stretch, obviously for the Oilers in the regular season, had a bad series against the Kings, bad game one against the Golden Knights. But after game one against the Golden Knights, he seemed a little more comfortable in the playoff situation. He's on a league minimum deal. Philip Broberg will have a bigger time or a bigger influence on the Oilers next year. He's on an ELC. Marcus Niemelainen also has a league minimum deal. Not saying he'll be a regular time player, but he is an option for the Oilers who has played in the NHL before. But then there's players that could be added to the roster on the forward core from within the organization as well. And I'm talking about specifically Raphaël Lavoie. Raphaël Lavoie had a very surprising back half of the year in the with the Bakersfield Condors, finishing the year with 25 goals, 20 assists, 45 points in 61 games, where for a player at one point, he was playing on the fourth line and getting health bombed. He was getting healthy scratched. And he came into Coach Chalk's office and said, "Coach, I don't want to be put down," and put down in the lineup is what he was referring to. "What do I have to do to make sure I stay in this lineup?" And since then, he became a much better player. And for me, I watched Lavoie for quite a while, especially in his draft year. And while I loved what I saw from Raphaël Lavoie, my biggest issue for him and concern was whether or not he would be able to do what he did in juniors at the pro level. If he was going to be able to become a good pro. And while for quite a while in Bakersfield, he was proving me right, since January, I am eating my words. And I am very happy to be doing so. Because Raphaël Lavoie is a very good hockey player with very good size on him. Raphaël Lavoie stands at 6'4", 196 pounds right now, and could still get bigger in regards to his weight. If he's able to play for the Edmonton Oilers, and it seems like the plan is to have him on the roster come game one of the season, because you win in this league with cheap contracts. If you're able to have Raphaël Lavoie on an entry-level contract, Dylan Holloway on an entry-level contract as well, you're probably going to be doing pretty all right, at least, at least as well. You could also see guys like Cam Dineen, a defenseman, see some time with the Edmonton Oilers, who did sign a contract with the Oilers after being traded to Edmonton with Nick Bjugstad in the Bjugstad deal. Phil Kemp is also an RFA, so that's a player to watch for if there's injuries as well. Another player who stands over 6 foot three. He stands actually 6'3", 201 exactly, but the Edmonton Oilers have players that are willing to step up within the organization. It just is a matter of where they can go from the market, whether that's free agency, the trade market, to see how they can bolster their roster there. Last thing I want to mention, and I just want to toss it to you to see if I'm really this crazy that all my friends that I have mentioned this to think I am, but how about this for the Edmonton Oilers when it comes to a potential target to go after? And this is going to make a lot of people mad, but hear me out. How about Michael Bunting? Michael Bunting this year was playing to almost a $5 million contract, it seemed like, or a $4.2 million contract at the least throughout the season. But as the more important games wore on and the more, I don't want to say undisciplined that he played, but the more he was in the headlines, let's say, the more and more his price went down. The Edmonton Oilers had issues at times really being a team that wasn't pushed around a lot or very easily. Michael Bunting could be a player where you get him under $2 million right now, especially considering that massive suspension he had in the playoffs, seemingly an undisciplined player. But isn't that relatively replaceable with the team that the Edmonton Oilers already have? If he does get a suspension here and there, oh man, the Edmonton Oilers have to go 11-7, or maybe the Edmonton Oilers have to insert Derek Ryan or Devin Shore or Dylan Holloway or Raphael Lavoie. The Edmonton Oilers would be able to sufficiently replace him in the lineup and still not have to promise him top 3 minutes. Really? He can be a middle six guy, heck, even a bottom six guy at times for the Edmonton Oilers, and still go out there, be a tough guy to play against, and still contribute with points. I don't know. You tell me, am I being crazy here, or is that just a little bit of a pipe dream? Alrighty, let's wrap up today's episode with the good, the bad, and the ugly from the 2022-2023 season, excuse me. We will talk about that in just a second, but first, today's episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started using AG1 because I wanted to better my gut health, optimize my immune system, and I wanted to do so without taking a whole bunch of pills. And that is exactly what I get with AG1. So, what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all of the things. Plus, it's lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, it is all good for you. Plus, it contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, all while still tasting great. And it costs less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews and is recommended by professional athletes. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That is it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Alrighty, let's wrap up today's episode with the good, the bad, and the ugly from the 2022-2023 season for the Edmonton Oilers. And we're going to start off with the good. The good being the season. It was a good season. And I know that's a bit of a cop-out, but it was still a good season. There's so many different storylines for the Edmonton Oilers to follow through here. The amount of 30 goal scorers, the first team and only team with three 100-point getters. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins getting 100 points for the first time in his career. Connor McDavid scoring 60 goals and 150 points. Leon Draisaitl being, and really establishing himself as one of, if not the best playoff performers in the NHL today. And that hasn't been something Edmonton Oilers fans could say for a very long time. The growth of Evan Bouchard underneath the wing of Matthias Ekholm. Darnell Nurse being Darnell Nurse, and I know that sounds again like a cop-out, but he was an absolute leader, and I have always been a major detractor of the haters of Darnell Nurse because it doesn't make sense. The Edmonton Oilers were able to see players like Vinny Desharnais come in out of nowhere and contribute. Matthias Janmark had a great season for the Edmonton Oilers. Derek Ryan and Devin Shore, especially in that stretch after the deadline, the Edmonton Oilers really got it all going. And there were so many things to follow. And in the goaltending situation, while it was hectic and a headache at times, it was still a good goalie tandem. And the Edmonton Oilers were still a good team with both goaltenders at their best. This was a good season. And while right now the taste in our mouths are still pretty bitter, sometimes you have to take a look back and say, you know what, that was pretty cool. So the good being the season. The bad for the Edmonton Oilers, consistency. And while we said that the Edmonton Oilers were good here, the good down the stretch and this, that, and the other thing, it was marred by inconsistency, especially at the start of the season. The Oilers were, well, the Oilers in the playoffs from the season before, not showing up on time, blowing a bunch of leads, this, that, and the other thing, having to play from behind and coming back all the time, playing with the most amount of time from behind. It was not a fun season for the Oilers at times. At times in the season, the Edmonton Oilers were the best team in the NHL, and at times it felt like they were the worst. And then you saw what the Edmonton Oilers did in the playoffs, and what was their biggest issue at times was consistency. Not being able to start on time, not giving their best 60 minutes, and it was the same issues from the start of the year when they weren't seeing those issues down the stretch with the team they had. So the bad and what ended up being the demise of the Edmonton Oilers this year was inconsistency. And we'll wrap up today's episode with the ugly, and the ugly isn't what you think it is. The ugly is Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. The absolutely ugly, disgusting dismembering of the NHL that those two players continually to put on year in and year out makes you more and more proud to watch the Edmonton Oilers and be so close to the Edmonton Oilers as you are. And, well, let's be honest, they're doing what they're doing in an Edmonton Oilers uniform, and I don't know if they'll ever do it in any other uniform ever. These two players are so unbelievably special. They love playing with each other. Their smiles while they interact with each other and play with each other and see each other succeed is unlike anything we see in the NHL today. And the ugliness that they are able to enforce on the ice and just absolutely, again, dismember the opposition at times, it seems like it's not when will Connor McDavid score, it's when will Connor McDavid decide to score. And the same for Leon Draisaitl. And while it is ugly, the stuff that they do on the ice, while it is rather beautiful, it is time for us as hockey fans to really enjoy what we see from Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Because as I just said, I don't know if either one of those players are ever going to do it with any other organization. You can never be too sure. And while you can love the Edmonton Oilers as much as you want and be as close to the Edmonton Oilers and want them to win the Stanley Cup as badly as you want, still appreciate what you see. Take out some of your bias sometimes, whether you cheer for the Oilers, whether you cheer for the Flames or the Canucks or the Golden Knights or the Kings or the Leafs or the Florida Panthers. It doesn't matter. Sit there and watch what 29 and 97 do game in and game out and think that one day this won't be happening on the ice ever again. Appreciate it. Because what we are seeing, while this is in the ugly category, is some of the most beautiful hockey we have ever seen and may never, ever see again in the NHL. So the ugly, the seasons of Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. And that's where we wrap up there. And for me, this is where I also wrap up my journey with Locked On as well, as I will be moving on from Locked On after this episode. So I appreciate everything that you have done for me from the perspective of the listeners and the viewers. I apologize for the viewers at staring for a screen for the last 30 or so minutes. And for the last week or so, I will be moving on with a different professional endeavor. So I appreciate everything that Locked On has done as well. They have been fantastic to me, and especially Sean Woodley as well. I appreciate everything you do. Thank you so much for the season that we had, and thank you so much for making this job so exciting. All the best to you in the future. And for one last time, let's all play La Bamba, baby.